This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. Today we have something very special for you. It's a review of the movie Aliens, otherwise known as, what, Paul's favorite goddamn movie of all time?
Maybe.
Would you say?
Maybe.
Okay, we don't know. We don't know. Okay.
We won't reveal that till the last episode of the show.
That's right. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. This is the review of the 1986 sequel to James Cameron's original... No, fuck. Not even
Ridley
James
Scott's.
Cameron's. Ridley Scott's original... God damn it, Paul. film. James Cameron taking over the reins to do the sequel, which brings back Ripley to take on a whole bunch of aliens with a bunch of colonial marines in tow. Apart from being written by James Cameron... from the story by David Giller and Walter Hill, stars Sigourney Weaver, Michael Biehn, Paul Reiser, Lance Henriksen, Carrie Henn in her one role.
One and only.
Newt, Bill Paxton, Jeanette Goldstein, Al Matthews, and William Hope. The theatrical release is 137 minutes long. The director's special has another 15 or 16 minutes from memory off the top of it. The budget, get this, Wayne, only $18 million.
Wow.
Can you fucking believe that?
I actually can't. And what would that be in today's dollars if you grossed it up? That's getting towards sort of like the 40s and 50s.
I would guess it'd be at least
in terms of what
60.
You spend on a movie? Yeah, like this. Yeah.
Now, but the box office was, weirdly enough, Wikipedia has it as 131 to 183. I'm not sure why there's such a big range there. But either way, it was enough to green light. Alien 3, David Fincher's first film, and then Alien Resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the last one we had, right?
In the direct Alien films?
Yes.
Yes.
So Resurrection.
Well, Prometheus, Alien Covenant.
Oh, shit. That's
as
right.
Prequels.
I forgot about all that shit.
AVP Requiem as sort of pseudo.
Oh, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, but it is. I see what you mean.
What is Aliens about, Wayne?
You see, folks, 57 years after Ellen Ripley had the close encounter with that alien thing from the first movie, she... is basically hypersleep awakened by the Weyland-Yutani Corporation, and then they basically call her back this time to help a group of highly trained colonial marines fight off these other sinister extraterrestrials that seem to have inhabited, they find out, this settlement that they all own. Basically, she goes there, it gets fucked up, she finds Newt, who's a little girl, and has to protect her from these aliens while these, you know, the marines all do busting ass things and trying to get off this island, or this, the planet.
Mm.
That's Aliens.
It is indeed. Wayne, we know what I think about it because you've given me such a big rev up to start the film or the review. What do you think of Aliens?
Okay, first of all, I totally watched the special edition. Okay, because why wouldn't I watch the special edition? All right.
It has more sentry guns. It has more Hadley's Hope at the start of the movie.
Yes.
All and it kinds has of more shit. Of the relationship between Ripley and her daughter and the grief she feels
yes.
over her loss.
That's right. So... that all made James Cameron said that he said that that's the one I would rather you have seen, and I can see why. It's longer, like 15 minutes, but
give or take.
But it sets up things much nicer. Like I knew I liked Aliens, but I forgot all the scenes. This is weird. I forgot all the scenes and how they started, and I sat there looking at it, going, "What is this bit a new bit or is it not a new bit?" Because either way, it looks really, really. Cool. And I'm looking at all the like machinery that they have in there, like even the hyperspace space capsules. And it's all like metal. And
that scene's awesome because they just had mirrors reflecting the capules.
Yes! Because they couldn't afford
four from memory.
That's right. It cost $4,000 to do each one of those things. And I was like, yeah, I was wondering what they did because if you and me were making this movie, we'd just paint fucking cardboard and go and make a sound effect so they open up.
Let's be clear. No idiots giving us $18 million to make a movie.
Oh no, oh no. But that is cool, man. And just like, it looks a little bit 80s, but it mostly doesn't look that 80s. And the things that look 80s about the movie
are,
okay, so the alien, right? I remember thinking to myself, oh my God, it's so fucking lifelike. I can't believe that's wow. And you look at it now and you can see the of the alien. You can see, so not that you can see the operation of it, but it's not this fluid that you can tell it's sort of a puppet a little bit. But it's not bad. It's just I notice it now. Okay?
There's only one scene in this entire film which stands out as being fake 34 years later.
What?
It is when the dropship is coming in
yes.
and there is the shot of it unfolds its wings
yes,
against
yes.
the clouds.
Yes.
And it's clearly against a sort of blue screen or
whatever yeah.
background. So that's the worst shot in the entire film.
I was looking at
other
that.
Other than that?
Yeah.
Boy, this film holds up.
Dude, is that, you know the dropship, like you mentioned it, coming down, right? I'm looking at it going, is that a model? I guess it is a model. There's no way
absolutely
they built that
is.
Fucking dropship, right?
Yep.
That is an outstanding work for that time. And I was reading a little trivia here that the studio was like pissed at James Cameron when they saw a print and said, you spent all your fucking money on these fucking, you know,
Models.
Well, they didn't know it was a model. They thought you actually built the thing. He said, how'd you film that? And then the model people were like, yeah, motherfucker. Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty cool. So, but, and the only other thing that dates this movie to me is just it's the dialogue a little
bit.
Look, okay, first of all, everyone, this is not a secret, but Paul totally interviewed.
Look into my eye.
Yeah. That wasn't so bad. It was, look, hang on. I'm about to tell everyone that Paul actually interviewed Jeanette Goldstein, who was the actress that played Vasquez, all right?
Yep.
And
I might re-release.
You got to re-release that shit, all right?
Because yeah, it was a really good interview before we had a big listenership. And
yeah, Paul reached out to Jeanette Goldstein, and she's like, "Word!" And then they have an interview, and she was happy to do it,
and she was so lovely and so accommodating of just wide-eyed fanboy who just was like, oh, "Please don't fuck this up."
Paul handled the interview particularly well. One guy talking. Drop it as a bonus.
Maybe we could do it as a sort of co-release with this. I don't know.
Yeah, drop it as a bonus. Why not?
Maybe this month's bonus episode.
Look out for it.
Yeah.
So yeah, sorry. But ironically, the line I'm talking about is Vasquez saying, I only need one thing. And then she points where they are, turns it into a gun, right? So
what's your problem?
That's hard. It's tough. That's a tough line. Okay. It's just a tough line.
She delivers it.
She did back then. And she nailed it back then. I'm watching it now and I'm going,
you're a bad word against Jeanette.
No, I love her performance. I'm talking about the writing. I'm not talking about performance, all right? Think about that. If a Marine did that, it would be weird. Do you know what I mean? I know it's a movie. Well, I know.
Again, it's okay. Maybe you're right. Maybe.
Only now, though. I think in the 80s, people would be like, what up, dog?
That shit up. I did.
Exactly. In the 80s, they're sniffing coke and they're listening to shit like that. That's what they're doing.
Let's talk about the heart of Aliens, which is the mother-daughter relationship or the mother-daughter theme which runs through this film. So Ripley loses her daughter. She never sees her again. She leaves for this, I can't remember how many years it's meant to be. She's away 2 or 3 years, I think, to do the first Nostromo mission in Alien.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone dies. She survives. She puts herself in hypersleep and tries to program herself back to Earth. Something goes wrong. Mm-hmm. It malfunctions. And 57 years later, she's picked up by Weyland-Yutani, and her daughter has died at the age of 72 or 73 or something.
Which I think you only find out in the special edition. I think they cut that bit.
terrible decision if they did.
No, I think, I'm sure they
why
did.
Why is she so concerned for they Newt?
Did. Actually, now that I remember, I actually looked it up and saw it was different, and that whole scene is not in the theatrical
release. There's definitely a line of dialogue in the original.
There's a line, but there's actually that scene says, where she looks at the little thing and there's actually news. No.
The whole bit where there's like a garden bit behind her and it's all fake and da-da-da. Right,
yep. That's all gone. But you actually see that she died of old age, basically.
Yeah.
Well, not really. 63.
Not at 73 or whatever the hell it was.
It was 63.
Okay, look, I'm sorry, 1986. People don't die of 63 years old out of old age. That's a 93-year-old disease.
Yeah, that's right. But weird. But it just says she died at 63, so my, you know, anyway. But yeah.
Which would kind of fit that she went away when she was, you know, 6 or 5.
11
or
something. Something
like was it 11?
Yeah, she's 11.
Oh, so she's been dead for a few years. Okay.
Anyway.
So that I think that's the heart of this film. And so her reaction, this great protective swell up of emotion that she has, and we care because Newt's not a typical kid in a film.
No, she's kind of tough.
She's tough as nails. She survives where, well, as Ripley says, you know, this kid survived with no training and no supplies. I think we can do this. You know,
yeah,
it's a great moment, great line, and then the affection they build for each other, and just she cleans her face off, and you know, she says, "What about Casey? What is Casey's a doll?
Yeah.
She doesn't think it's good." That's as much as you want to shit on this other line, which I have no problem with, that's good character building through good dialogue. And that really works the film. And then when they get attacked by the facehuggers, and then ultimately Newt gets taken, and they don't kill you. And she goes back in to risk everything for this kid. It all makes perfect sense.
Yes.
It's really well written. So that's the heart of the film.
Mm. The thing that I remember hearing about this show when I was a kid is that all my friends were talking about, I really want to see Aliens. And to me, it looked quite scary. I didn't want to see it, you know. And so...
Shock horror.
I know. I was like, ooh, that looks really horrible. But the thing that I remembered watching this again... Fuck off.
A bit slow, but it was worth it.
Yeah, it's slow. We just did it anyway. By the way, the only
title
thing...
of your sex tape.
The other thing that makes this thing dated a bit is everyone's smoking cigarettes.
Absolutely.
It's just funny. It's like, even Ripley's like, I'm just sitting there and smoking a cigarette. Okay.
No, that's true.
No, but anyway, I forget about Lance Henriksen, okay? Because I remember Bishop fondly because
Bishop!
Right? But when you first see him, I was like, oh, it's quite stark the way they make him look. And James Cameron, apparently he wanted to use like lenses or something and James Cameron looked at him and said, I'm going to make you look scarier than the alien. That's what he reckons. James Cameron reckons Bishop looks scarier than the aliens with his perfectly like sort of almost androidy, not quite face.
It's a very clever play on the original.
Yeah, because it makes you think, because the first one malfunctioned. And so you're like, oh my God, this is the guy that's going to malfunction as well. He looks sinister.
I don't know the first one malfunctioned. The first one followed its core directive, right?
You think it was programmed by...
Yeah, it was programmed to kill, to prioritize alien life above everything else, including the lives of the crew members of the Nostromo.
Oh, so that means when Bishop says...
It only malfunctions after she starts smacking the fucking head with whatever she smacks it in the head with.
Oh, so that makes more sense, because when Bishop says, well, those models all were a bit twitchy and stuff. No, it fucking worked perfectly, and so could you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good call. Well, that's the thing. I actually forgot about it until I noticed it. I was like, yeah, you're right. If you're watching this for the first time...
You're meant to believe, because he is weird.
He's weird.
He's not human.
Exactly.
Right? He's a machine.
Yes.
He doesn't have the normal range of human emotion. You're meant to be put off by him because you know what happened to Ash in the original. You're meant to think he's the bad guy. And that's, again, some pretty good writing from James Cameron to subvert that and to have him be a hero by the end of the film and literally get torn in half.
Absolutely.
To save the humans.
Well, he saves them heaps of times. He's the one who did the crawl. He went to get the dropship. He's the only one who can pilot
it. And they say to him, you probably don't care. And, oh, no, I know. Yeah. I know that this is a suicide mission. I don't really want to do it, but I'll do it anyway. You
right.
Know?
So, no, it's great. It
and Lance Henriksen's well cast. He's a guy, unlike most actors and actresses in Hollywood, who looks older than he actually is.
Because when he did that TV show. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and he looks kind of the same.
Yeah, he's very craggy looking very early on in his life. And I say as a man in his midlife now.
Oh, we're all craggalicious.
But he's particularly craggy. Yeah. So, no, I think they cast him well. I think he plays it well. Probably his most famous role. So,
definitely. Yeah. It's the thing he's known for.
But I think that's the real win of this movie is they do so well with their casting that all these characters... The Jeanette Goldsteins, the Bill Paxtons.
Bill Paxton.
Right?
Bill Paxton is basically the first thing I remember about this show. Not the alien, not her. I remember him making quips like all of his...
I wish it was still on the soundboard, but apparently I deleted it.
Well,
game over, man!
Apparently he came up with all of those, right? Or most of them. And then he continuously apologized to Carrie Han, Newt, after he cursed each time. Isn't that nice? What
a
nice fella.
Such a loss.
I know. It's like even back then when he was a cocksure fucking what's it, he's like, oh my God, he's such a nice man.
Good bloke.
Yeah.
Good bloke.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some actors, and you can be wrong, because they're so good at acting.
Well, you wouldn't know. I would think Hudson's an asshole if I didn't show him. Like,
I don't know. I've seen...
Because he plays asshole so well.
Yeah, but then I've seen him be not assholes, like One False Move and the like. So.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a great film that he didn't direct it, but...
Did you ever watch
he directed Frailty, didn't he?
That's right, Frailty. Yeah. Did you ever watch Big Love, a TV show?
No.
Fucking insane. He's really great. He's playing a guy with like seven wives, but not a Mormon, according to that show. Yeah. So, yeah, very, very cool.
I think that's the genius of the movie. You care about the bit characters.
Yes.
And Al Matthews as well, Apone and whatever else. Even like Frost. You always say that, Frost. You always say you've got a bad feeling about this drop. Well, when we get back without you, I'll call you folks. Good lines of dialogue.
Do you find the relationship between Vasquez and I guess it's Drake?
Drake, yep.
Right? And there was high-fiving and stuff like that. For these like Marines, right, that are all fucking
They were different. They had the equivalent of the big gun, whatever you call it.
Ah, yes.
So they had they were the specialists.
I was wondering why they were friends, but I guess that makes sense. They are both actually the same position.
Yep.
Like artillery, I guess, or whatever.
Whatever. They had the biggest gun in their squad, and they were their job was to provide fire cover and whatever else. So they were bonded by that. And really early on, say what you will about James Cameron and his antiquated views on lots of things. Mm. It's great that he cast a woman.
He cast a woman as one of the fucking heavies.
Yes,
exactly. Exactly. And you know what? I was looking at the rig there for that big gun, and I was like, that looks like a Steadicam rig.
Yeah.
Apparently it was a Steadicam rig.
Okay.
But it's so cool, man. Although, you know what? It's funny. They use her to go point into a room. I'm like, don't do that, because it takes about 10 minutes to swing that gun left and right. You want someone with a little fucking like pulse rifle to go point.
Right.
But it was cooler looking, so I totally understand. So anyway, that's just something.
I think this film, it's a very slow burn to start with. It is long. At 220 or just under. But
I guess so.
But it's all paid off, because if you don't give the time to these characters to breathe, to be in the mess scene, to be in the loading scene, to be in the debriefing scene, you don't give those scenes, you don't give a shit about them.
Yes.
They're just they're just notches on a belt to get rid of so that you can get to the core characters in the last part of the film.
Well, so yeah, exactly.
It's almost halfway through that they get attacked and most of them get killed. Now the stakes are really high.
Yep.
Because some of these people who you've come to care about are gone.
Yes.
Right? Or come to give half a shit about anyway.
No, it's whereas heartbreaking when they all go down.
A modern day film doesn't give a shit about that, seemingly, most of the time. And there are exceptions, don't get me wrong. But often it's just, that's the jock. He's going to die.
Yeah.
The red shirts, right? Yeah. And we don't give them any more characterization than we have to.
Mm-hmm.
And then filmmakers expect us to give a shit, but we don't.
That's
whereas
why.
This film and the Predators of the world, they really get it. Build your minor characters up enough that you give a shit, so when they die, now it has stakes. Because everyone else, like, they could go too.
Do you know that that's actually called something? There's a moment in film where you're at rock bottom, and there's a term for it in script writing called, it's something like Heart So Cold. Someone out there will probably.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. And it's like it's like a device. It's like, this is when absolutely everything is fucked. For example, in Avengers Endgame, right before Cap like saddles up
On your left.
Yeah, on your left. Right before that, that's the Heart So Cold, whatever that fucking term is, which I should have looked up.
but it's enough that I know it exists.
Yes. And then in Aliens, this is that scene because only Hicks and her and Bishop are left. And then it's like, oh shit, now what? But then the fucking the alien mother fucking thing is under the... That was the shit. I forgot how quick... It seemed to me that people died quickly. Like I was...
No, the build-up is
slow. I know
slow.
The build-up was, but I was watching it again and I'm sitting there going... And I couldn't, like... Sometimes I distract myself while rewatching something. But this time I was like, no, I'm just going to watch this.
Many things. Many things I need to emphasize that we haven't given justice to.
What?
James Horner's score. Incredible.
Let's talk about this. I didn't know that was the song that you used for the Reap trailer. If anyone's new, me and Paul made a fucking movie when we were in our 20s and it's stupid. And
very
but
stupid.
On the trailer, the ding, 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 ding. Like, I was like, holy shit, that's that music from Reap. Of course it wasn't. It was the music from Aliens. That was
if you're new to the show, welcome. It's great to have you on board. Every so often we reference a film that Wayne and I made some 20 years ago. More, really. I think it had a premiere.
We were 23.
Yeah, 1999, my memory is. So 21 years ago, we made or debuted the film. And every so often gets some play. And the regular listeners are lobbying for it to be released. I don't understand that no one would ever listen to us ever again if we did.
That's right. It's called Reap.
So yes, I did use that music from. In fact, the whole trailer was modeled off the Alien 3.
And it works great. It works perfectly. I'm actually remembering beats from the trailer as I'm hearing that fucking soundtrack in this movie. Yeah.
Enos. Moving on. So James Horner's score is fantastic. And apparently, did it on a very short window of opportunity. How the story goes. Rest in peace, James Horner. I also think it's really worth mentioning Ripley as the iconic character that she became, one of the greatest action movie characters ever in cinema history.
Actually, there you go about progression on Cameron's part. Again? Not just Vasquez, fucking Ripley.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, it was Ridley Scott who changed.
Oh, sorry, good point.
Scott who changed. Ripley was originally in the original script a male. And someone said, I can't remember, I just read this the other day, whether it was Ridley who said, can Ripley be a woman? Or someone came to him and said, wouldn't it be good? And he went, yes, it would.
No, yeah, that's cool. And it totally makes, despite how bad her hair is, like, it's just, it was the 80s.
When you were talking before about what doesn't hold up, I was waiting for it to say her hair.
God, it's so bad. It's the worst. And I did not notice it at all in the 80s because everyone looked like that, right? Not everyone. But like, but watching it, I was like, wow. But it's like when you watch a 70s show as well.
I can guarantee you there's a bit of hair envy going on here from Wayne. So just,
definitely. Just sorry, people. Absolutely.
I also think that it's worth really mentioning the prosthetics Alien Queen Mother. How good does that shit look?
Yeah. It's great. And I think, I'm sorry. I just noticed it moving in this one. That wouldn't happen today with CGI. Like, they float a little bit. Like,
yeah,
when
the problem
walking.
With CGI is it looks fake. Almost always. Creatures and humans, you can do backgrounds pretty well.
Yeah.
Right? Unless your angel has fallen, in which case smoke makes everything look fucking stupid. But generally speaking, backgrounds and environments work okay. Particularly water, for whatever reason, water can CG really well to my eye. But people and creatures, they don't move. They move too fluid.
Yeah, I agree. You're right.
As a layman's term, I'm sure B Dizzle from Wheel of the Thing could clarify.
I agree with that, and definitely we probably net win if you use practical like effects, i.e., like what we're doing here. But I'm not saying anything bad about it. It was the 80s. It's amazing for its time. But I
better not say anything bad about it, motherfucker.
Well, the thing is, all the acting and all the sets and stuff like that, that could have been shot today. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's any real drop in quality there.
These great films hold up. The Thing.
The Thing.
This movie.
The Thing was great, man. The Thing was really great in terms of that. Because of the wolves and stuff at the beginning. Yes, there's creature effects and stuff like that.
The wolf, the husky?
It's huskies, wasn't it? but that made it like, I don't know, real. I don't know. The way it was shot, it just made it work. So, yeah, this same deal. James Cameron's the man.
We could probably talk about this film forever. Probably. But we probably have to wrap it up now.
Sure.
Having, just jizzed everywhere all over this movie. Wayne, I'll go to you first then. What is your score for Aliens?
Trying not to be influenced by, your gaze and, what the fuck. If I give it anything but fucking 200, what would be my...
Out of 100, correct.
No, Aliens. No, it's fucking great, man. It's probably 91.
I'll accept 91 and be happy to get out of here with this. I think it's incredibly low at the score.
Whoa!
Aliens for me is a 98.
Fuck! Did you say that you had once awarded a 100 to a movie?
Never.
Never. This has got to be it, people. This has got to be it. Fucking spoilers, but it's got to be it.
One day we shall find out. It's obviously right up there. I don't give 98 too often. I'll tell you why it gets 98 and not 100.
Why?
The final scene of the film, right? Where...
go on.
Ripley, they open the airlock and blow the Queen Mother out.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah. They all die. Okay. The vacuum of space sucks all the air out.
Let's try and be devil's advocate for the movie here.
Good luck.
Okay. Now, they're in some sort of dome, in some sort of facility.
Nope. The moment, you want to say the vacuum of space. Space is vast. And the air in that, how quickly the air would rush out of there?
Yeah.
They're dead instantaneously the moment that airlock opens up.
Damn it.
You're not hanging on there going, breathing nicely.
No, I was... what I thought was, if there was sufficient pressure within the structure they were in, right?
Why does the alien mother get blown out then?
Oh, it's still sucking pretty hard. But the alien brother's just hanging on to Ripley's
leg.
It
sucks all the air out.
Yeah, so she goes out, right?
Right, again, term vacuum.
All right, okay. Ripley probably wouldn't have been able to hang on, all right?
It's not about hanging on. It's like that air rushing past her, that dragging her out.
It wouldn't last that long?
It sucks the air out instantaneously.
Is it instantaneous? It's a what's a big unit and a small hole by comparison. It's like a, is it not, is that, it's a, you'd say maybe the aperture is small enough to prolong oxygen rushing past.
What happens when you're... in a plane and a window cracks when it's only that far up?
Well, according to the A-team, everyone gets sucked towards that window slowly.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying they would necessarily be dragged out instantaneously by this huge force, but I am saying the air is gone. The oxygen is gone now. It's been sucked down to the vacuum of space.
So only Bishop would really have survived.
Yes.
All right. Okay, fine.
So that's why it's not 100.
That's it?
Yeah. Otherwise, it's
man, that's two lines of dialogue to fix that shit. Woo, thank God we invented the whatever.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
Can we write that into the special? Okay. Can we write that into the special Prezula edition?
Pool, yeah, exactly. At least the Prezula cup.
Oh, I hear that too often on social media.
Oh, I know.
All right. Well, thank you so much for... again today. We hope you agree with our love of this film. And if you don't, we'd like to hear where it falls short for you. But if you do love it, let us know as well. And how did you do that? Via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc. You can do it in the Facebook listening community where we have most of our interaction with listeners. Link is in the show notes, or via podbean.com where we host the show.
Also, word.
Check out us and a whole bunch of other great Australian podcasts at ccradio.com.au. And that's it for this special episode, this classic episode. Very special. Very special. So special. Pimpin'. I can barely talk. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard. It's really the only thing you can go with such a great film. Yeah! It's for every one of us.
It's not for every one of us. I think we can all agree that was not worth it.
Catch you next time.